Welcome to Marriage Heart to Heart. We're Tom and Elaine Waters with Restoration International.
Today we're going to be talking about the gray for fault, so we hope you have your pencil and paper ready as we begin this interesting topic today.
You know, one of the greatest curses that face marriages and that destroys communication is complaining, fault finding, and gossip. It's terrible. What are we going to do about it, dear?
That's a good question. And I think it's a problem that a lot of marriages experience is this fault finding and criticism.
That's
and
right.
Complaining. And it's a problem that I had, I know, for a period of time. And it really didn't help us at all. It only hurt us in our relationship.
Well, and I think it happens with men, maybe differently than it does with women. But I know that there was criticisms. I was finding faults. And I think the difference, at least in our situation, is that there was somebody that you started sharing some of that. And you told me it was kind of to get some sympathy.
Yes. I think the difference between you and I is that you shared your criticisms with me, which is where they should have been shared, mm-hmm. even though they may not have been shared in the right spirit. And I tended to share with this one particular friend, you know, some of my discontent or my disappointments. And that really didn't help me because I had no balancing person on the other side. It was only hearing my side of the issue. And it didn't help me to resolve things. What I saw happening is I started focusing in these areas that started little, that became bigger and bigger. And pretty soon that's what I started seeing in you. And that's what you started becoming to me. Hmm. And it was quite a scary thing.
So it doesn't sound like a very good friend, because from what I understood, she was actually drawing some of this stuff, trying to...
Well, I didn't see that at first, but I remember once in my personal study time that I had come across something that the wife's heart should be the gray for her husband's faults.
Sounds good for me.
Definitely good for you. It's really good for both of us.
That's right.
My heart needed to be the gray for your faults. None of us are perfect. Hmm. And there's always going to be little things that crop up, weaknesses or areas of difficulty that can crop up.
Yes.
And if that becomes our focus, that changes the whole relationship. And so when I read that, it's like the Lord stepped right on my toes with that. And it's just what I needed to hear. And I remember the next time we got together, I was determined I was going to let my heart be the gray for your faults. Hmm. Because in reality, the faults weren't as big as I had made them out to be. And I can remember right where we were standing in the kitchen, and she started asking me, because I wasn't volunteering this time any information. She was asking me questions. Well, how is it with Tom? And I said to her, I have no complaints. I said, the Lord is changing him. Hmm. The things that he's struggled with in the past, those aren't issues with him anymore. And I can remember her coming back around and saying, well, you know, what about this and what about that? And I said, really, this isn't a weakness that he had. And I took responsibility for my part. Even though she wanted to dig a little bit, I didn't want to go there. And I saw the difference it made in my heart. And that is what began to change me and convince me that this needed to be very much a part of who I am for you in our marriage, to protect our marriage.
It was a blessing to me when I realized the position that you'd taken on that. I mean, it was a comfort to me, because as it says in Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. You know, this was an area that was a little difficult. Sometimes I didn't know what you were going to be talking about in that situation. And so you were willing, for my sake and for the sake of our marriage, to make the faults that I had, and some of them you had turned into bigger than they were, some of those little things. But I believe that by doing that, you created an environment where I could safely trust in you. And I've always been able to safely trust in you since that time.
And that's the way it should be in our marriage. And I want that, because I want to create that environment that you can trust in me, and I have no complaints. Mm. And if there's anything that I don't like, you're the first one I will come to it with. And that's the way it should be. and right. not to focus on those little weaknesses, because we all have them.
Mm-hmm. I think that we men can help facilitate this. If we want to have our wife be someone we can safely trust in, then I think we need to play a part in that, because we need to be able to communicate together. Isn't that right?
That's right.
If there are things that are happening, if I don't want those to turn into mountains, if I want to keep them as they are, some of them are, it's the little things. We've talked about that before. Then we need to be able to communicate. You need to be able to talk to me about it. We need to be able to sit down and look at some of these things. That I think we as husbands can do to help our wife in that situation. So if we want her to bury those things and we want her heart to be the grave for our faults, we need to be able to work through those things together.
That's right. And to change those things where we are. What
that's
we can
right.
do. It's not that we just stuff them under, you know, we bury them. Anything that's buried goes down dead. And that's a very important part. Many people yes. think they're burying these issues and they're just stuffing them down alive and they keep erupting
right.
in the relationship. We need to bury them, and they can only go down dead if we allow Christ to crucify those feelings and those thoughts in ourselves. Then they can be put to the grave and really be dead. And then the areas that are real, then help each other to grow in, that we can strengthen those weaknesses and change.
That's right. And I think it works both ways. It isn't just something, I know you read this, but it also applies to the husband as well. Husbands, it really does apply to us that our hearts should be the grave of our wife's faults as well. Because what it does, it creates an environment in the home, a safe, trusting environment where we're honoring each other. There's no reason that other people have to be involved in a lot of the petty things that husbands and wives end up sharing outside of the sacred circle. And as you said a moment ago, it isn't just a matter of you just keep being that way or I just keep being this way and we just stuff it down and we, you know, say, well, you got to bury it. No, it's got to be buried dead, okay? And it won't be buried dead if we keep it alive. And it won't be buried dead if we don't work through it in our hearts.
That's right. And so when we go back again to 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about what love will do, this divine love that God wants to put in our hearts. It changes who we are. Mm-hmm. It changes our relationship. It changes how we treat each other.
That's right.
And it improves our relationship as husband and wife.
Sure has.
Definitely has.
You know, it creates a sheltering love. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about, isn't that a nice thought? I mean, think about that, friends, a sheltering love. It's a safe place for us to be together in our relationship. And that's the kind of environment that we've created in the home. Does that mean that I don't have any more faults?
No, neither do I. I mean, I also have a few too.
So it doesn't mean that suddenly all the faults have gone away. But what makes the difference is the environment that we deal with those faults in. I'm convinced that I can come to you and I can talk to you about the things that are bothering me, the things that are chafing or agitating to mm-hmm. me. You can come to me. That sheltering love, that 1 Corinthians love that bears, that believes, that hopes and endures all things, that kind of love creates a sheltering love environment for growing and prepares the way and prepares our hearts. If I can say this, it prepares our hearts to be a good burial ground for the faults of the one we love.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's two important points that we need to bring out in this, our heart being the grave for our spouse's faults. And the first thing is the fault even real?
Mm.
Because many of the situations that couples face, and some of these were in my own experience, what I was seeing as a weakness really wasn't a weakness at all. It's just something that you did differently than I did. And I didn't understand why you did it the way you did it, and mm-hmm. I wanted you to do it my way. Therefore, I saw it as a fault for you or as a weakness.
That's
so
right.
Is it even real? We have to determine, is this a real problem?
Well, I think one of the things, and it happened particularly early in our marriage, one of the things that would happen when I had my list of things to do wasn't a very organized list. I've learned a lot of organizational skills in our marriage together. And, you know, that was an irritation to you sometimes, because I'd take my list and I'd go to town, and it would take me a lot longer to get things done because I wasn't organized very well. And yet, that fault, you were very gracious to me in that fault, but I didn't like how you tried to help me. You remember that? Because instead of taking your strength and my weakness and combining it, and that's what we're doing now in every area of our marriage, because it's exciting. And I think you folks need to realize that it's exciting when we take the things that our weaknesses or our faults or things that we differ on, and we can blend them together. Because now, how do I do when I have to take care of things?
You're very organized, very organized.
But I've learned a lot of that in working together in our marriage. Mm-hmm. But back in the early days, I'd say things like, stay out of my business. You know, I can do this myself, right?
Yes.
And I viewed your strength as a fault. It wasn't really a fault. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I really needed to bury. I had a fault, and you were trying to help me in that fault, and you were doing it in a very nice way, trying to offer it to me. And it wasn't until we started understanding how to communicate better and how to give these things to the Lord that now we take those strengths and weaknesses and we blend them together. Mm-hmm. And I used to just give you my lists. That was kind of a transition point. I'd say, here, take it.
And organize it
for me, rather than fight over it. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't even need to give you my list, because I've learned. It's been a blessing. And so, is it a real fault? Many times, it isn't a real fault. I remember that experience of the couple that we were talking to just recently. And it wasn't.
Yeah.
The things she was trying to deal with on her husband, they weren't real, were they?
That's right. She felt that her husband was always interested in other women.
That's right.
You know, any time they would be anywhere in public and she would see, you know, there would be other women around, she was concerned that he had eyes for other women.
That's right.
And it became so real to her that she started seeing this in him, and it was not a weakness of his. And
she started reading all the things he did.
Yes.
Like if he'd get too close to a woman.
Yeah, or pass them by just naturally. You
or
know,
smile.
Oh, yes, or just, you know, normal human That's courteous right. behavior. Mm-hmm. And I can remember as we talked together, I asked her some basic questions. What has he done? Has he, you know, is he staying away from home late? Mm-hmm. Is he hiding things from you? A lot of these questions, no. Really, is it a problem? He's given you no evidence that this is a weakness of his. And in reality, it was her weakness. She had the weakness. She was looking at other men on the side. And she projected that weakness onto him.
That's right.
And he became suspect to her. It wasn't even a real fault. And she didn't even realize it was her own weakness until we had that discussion. Mm-hmm. So we have to evaluate and bring it to its core, to the
that's
root
right.
of the problem. And that's how we solve. We have to get to the root to root the problem out. Can't lop off the fruit on the top of the surface.
That's right. And I want to just for a moment back up to that term you brought up, projection. This is something that we have seen many times in our counseling. And I think it's something that you, the viewing audience, need to think about. Husbands, wives, are you taking things that, in this case that we just shared, this lady was taking things that were out of her past, her own insecurities and things that we don't need to get into here, but she was projecting that onto her husband. He was not doing these things. And I just want to encourage you, as we talk about this, to be able to separate what are real faults and what are the ones that are just perceived and that we're actually projecting out of our own weakness. When we come back in just a moment, stay with us, because we're going to talk about what we do when the faults are real and how we get past those faults. Welcome back, where we're talking about the grave for faults, each other's faults. It's not to be put out there. It's not to be stuffed down while it's still alive. A grave is a place for things that are dead. And we were talking about, what if I think my wife has a fault And the reality of it is I'm just projecting some of my own weaknesses and trying to blame her, and it's not her fault at all. And now we want to talk about if the fault is real.
How do we know if the fault is real? We have to really evaluate in our own heart, right? And that happens through communication between one another.
That's right.
First of all, identify it. And then talk about it. Is it exaggerated? Because sometimes we've identified little faults in each other that we've been able to talk about, but in the person perceiving it, it's much more exaggerated, and it's out of perspective. But by being able to talk about it, we bring it into a real level of a weakness, not an exaggerated. So that's important when we identify that the weakness or the fault is real, that we not exaggerate it to make it bigger than it is. We have enough challenge to deal with them when they're little, so let's not make our work harder in our marriages.
That's right. You know, you hit on something that's very important. It's very obvious, but it's lacking in many marriages today, and that is we need to be able to communicate about these things. And we're not going to be able to communicate very well if we're not in a safe environment, which is what we were talking about earlier. If we're not in a safe environment in our home, in a sheltering love environment. And I remember a couple that called me, and they were right on the verge. In fact, the lady had gone to an attorney and was ready to proceed with a divorce filing. And I picked up the phone one day, and I know you remember this story very well, but I picked up the phone one day, and this lady is on the other end, and she said, I know what your ministry does. I know your work in restoring marriages and families. And she said, I went to a divorce attorney, but she said, as I was there, I just had this prompting that I needed to give our marriage one more chance. And she said, so I'm calling you, and I want to give God one more chance. Well, that's a pretty heavy responsibility, isn't it?
Yes, very heavy.
And that's why in these situations we are always praying as we proceed in a conversation like this. Well, I had the opportunity to begin counseling with this couple. The husband and wife were, the husband was really shocked that this was going to be happening. But as you know, the reason that this husband was shocked is because they weren't communicating. He didn't realize how bad it was. And I remember as we talked together on the phone, one of the things that they both identified that they hadn't previously, because now they're hearing each other saying it on the telephone, they realized that there was a huge misperception over a fault that was not really real. It was perceived. And I heard the wife say, "You mean you haven't felt that way towards me all these years of marriage?" He said, "No, I've never felt that way." Well, the problem was they weren't communicating, and the walls had been building up. And then as I addressed him on the situation and he began to share his perspective, there was a total breakdown there in their communication. And over the next few months, we were talking together. And what that wife needed more than anything was to know that her husband loved her enough to give her at least one afternoon and evening a week that he could commit to her. He was very busy. He was very busy in his business, and he was very dedicated, and it seemed like every time that the business called, he was ready to go. But he wasn't meeting the needs of his wife. There in that phone conversation, he made that commitment to me for his wife. And you know, it was beautiful to watch over the next few weeks as we talked, that as he made that commitment, he would let nothing come between that commitment for his wife. And you know, she began to tell me, in our conversations with the three of us, she began to tell me, "I know now how much my husband really loves me, because not everything else is pushing us apart." Mm-hmm. And as we continued to talk about the other faults and the other weaknesses that were there, and some of them were very real, but now we had a basis of communication. And at the end of 3 months, I remember, I'll never forget the day that they were both on the phone, and the wife said to me, She said, can we just do this on an as-needed basis? She said, I have never loved my husband as much as I love him now. Even on our wedding day, I did not love him like I love him now. My heart was thrilled because this was a marriage over some very simple faults, some of which were misunderstood.
Some that were not real,
some that were perceived, that they had been dividing and their communication had become less and less. And to see that marriage come back together was a thrill to my soul, because God wants to restore homes. And there are people out here today that are listening today that are finding themselves with those kinds of perceived faults, some of those real faults, and those have separated. You know, it was interesting. She said to me before she closed that conversation that she was now the happy bride of her husband. She was the joyful bride that she had not been in many years in their marriage, and was right on the verge of seeing that marriage destroyed. So sometimes it isn't the major crises.
That's right.
It's many times these faults that go unburied, that go undealt with, that begin to stack up and create the crisis.
That's right. Or we try to stuff them down, but they get bigger and bigger and bigger because they're growing underneath the surface.
They're not dead. That's right.
And we need to learn how to put those things down.
That's right.
And that's why our dependence on God is so important. When I have a difficulty, when I perceive something from you, if I see a weakness, I need to ask God to help me be the one to encourage you for change instead of criticizing you or putting you down or demean you. Even in the way we communicate can be very demeaning.
That's right.
So I need to ask God to help me to be the person, the wife, the true helpmeet I can be to help you make that change. And you do that for me. And then the weaknesses turn into strengths. And they dissipate. And I know we still have weaknesses, but sometimes it's hard to even remember them. I mean, you know, we've challenged ourselves, you know, where are our weak areas, and are we really working with that? So we each individually, whether it's the husband or the wife, have a key responsibility into making the difference. The one who recognizes it, rather than complain, let's turn it and let's restore the marriage through that.
And that's the exciting part. If we can convince you that if you will take this to the Lord and if you will communicate, and we're going to spend some time
talking about several different programs on communication.
That's right, because it's vitally important. It's the lack of communication that often leads to these misperceptions. But if you will take the time to begin to communicate, if you will allow your faults to be revealed, you know, one of the hardest things for either of us when we're in the me focus is to let the other person really express the fault. And now I can say this to you as I can say it to my wife. She can come to me now, not that I always like it, not that it always feels good, but she can come to me and we can talk about my faults. I can go to her and talk about her faults, because we know at the end of it, we're going to be better. We're going to have a better marriage.
That's right. And the openness to do that, not to come to criticize, but to come to encourage and to restore. That's the key in facing these weaknesses that we each have.
So that's really the challenge that we have for them, is that they would be willing, not just hearing us, but that you would be willing to really honestly allow your wife or your husband to come to you. Allow for that communication that can happen.
So the weaknesses that we see, they can be real, but how we respond to them is the key.
Mm.
And if each one of you would let your heart be the graveyard for those faults, you will see a difference in your marriage. And it doesn't have to take weeks and months and years. You're going to see the difference in days, sometimes in an hour. It's incredible to see the difference.
That's right.
So what's their challenge?
Well, the challenge that all of us have, let's find out if they're real.
That's right.
Okay? Let's be honest. And the place to find out if they're real is not just by my perception,
It's on our knees.
It's on our knees before the Lord. We need to find out, is this really real? And if it is real, we find out that it's real, we need to start praying, not to change my wife. Now, we can do that. But I want to suggest to you that where we need to start praying first is, Lord, we need to see this buried, not buried alive. This needs to be buried. Give me that real forgiveness and let it be buried in my heart. Because if it's buried there, dead, then I'm going to have the best opportunity of helping you to work through that real fault that's there.
That's right.
So if we need God to help us with this, then maybe we can turn to God right now as we close. Do you want to close in prayer, honey?
Sure. Father, we're thankful that you do have a forgiving spirit towards us and that you remember our sins no more. And help us as husbands and wives that we too can give our spouse that part of our heart that will bury those faults and weaknesses to be remembered no more. And if they're real, Lord, help us to be the instrument in your hands to strengthen and to uplift and to change. And we believe that this can be done because you are the God of all flesh and there is nothing too hard for you. And we thank you for your willingness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, we've got another exciting subject next time we get together. Building a foundation. We've had to build that foundation, haven't we?
We've built the first one that wasn't very strong. The second one has withstood tempest and trials.
That's right. Building a sure foundation. And we're going to find out how we build that next time we're together.
This has been a Three Angels Broadcasting Network production.